Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August the 11th, 2020, and the time is 1 p.m. I now call this meeting to order. This is the public hearing of the fiscal year 2021 proposed budgets for the three Finance Commission agencies, which are the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, and the Department of Banking. My name is Charles Cooper, and I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Banking. I also serve as Executive Director of the Finance Commission. This afternoon, the Finance Commission agencies will present our proposed budgets for fiscal year 2021. These budgets have been posted on the Finance Commission website and on each agency's website. Each agency will be going over their budgets individually. We are soliciting public input and will entertain questions. If anybody wishes to make a comment or ask a question, you may do so at the conclusion of each agency's presentation. Now I'll ask Wendy Rodriguez to go over the technical aspects of making comments or asking questions. Wendy.
Good afternoon. If you are interested in making a comment at the conclusion of each agency's presentation, please use the raise your hand feature as shown on the screen. To raise your hand, select the hand icon in the grab tab of the control panel. You also have the option of submitting a question or a chat back to the organizer so that you may be recognized.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. So I'll get on with the program. The first agency to present will be the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Commissioner Jones, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Ready for me to begin?
Please.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone who is on the budget meeting audio. Before Antonio Antoff, our Director of Finance and Administration, speaks in detail about the budget, I want to mention some of the fundamental bases for the proposed budget. First, SML strives to be good stewards of our financial resources. We recognize that being self-directed, semi-independent is a privilege, and we approach the budget to ensure that we are living by what SDSI has provided us. We recognize also that as a self-leveling, self-funding agency, each division, thrift and mortgage, must support its own cost of regulation, and that we do what Sunset required, which is to have our fees or assessments be transparent and consistent, and that the assessments of the savings banks are paid in equal installments. We analyzed opportunities to improve business processes and to achieve greater efficiency. We took into consideration any impact from COVID, and we looked for opportunities to lower fees and assessments for the industries, while at the same time making sure we have the staff and infrastructure needed to be an effective and efficient regulator. Also, lowering of fees we looked at in order to assist us in managing our cash reserves. A few points on the thrift side of the budget. In March, Texas had two very large financial institutions convert from national banks to Texas savings banks. Our current staff has done an excellent job of starting a large financial institution program while all at the same time continuing to provide the same responsiveness and accessibility our legacy portfolio is accustomed to receiving. We do need more examiners, and we need additional infrastructure for today's large financial institution program and for the future, for I expect that at some point we will have other LFIs. Antonia and her remarks will discuss our proposal for the thrift annual assessments that will allow the thrift division to be self-funding while lowering annual assessments. On the mortgage division, that division has also continued to grow. We see many new license applications every day. So revenue from the mortgage industry has also increased. We are proposing to reduce most licensing fees. Those are the general objectives that we had top of mind when drafting the budget and the reasons why. Now I'll call on Antonia Antoff to present SML's proposed fiscal year 21 budget. Antonia?
Good afternoon. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Great. The budget process that we followed for developing the fiscal year 21 budget according to our policy resulted in a proposed budget which takes into account the agency's vision, mission, short and long-term goals, includes budget decisions targeting specific results and outcomes, provides incentives to employees and promotes wellness and development, and includes input from the entire management team and other staff as needed. The proposed budget for fiscal year 21 provides for 20.7% increase in revenues and 22.9% increase of expenditures compared to the budget approved for fiscal year 20. The proposed staff count for fiscal year 21 is 67, which is 9 more than approved in the prior year. The budgeted amount of our licensing revenues is 6.8% higher than the prior year budget due to an increase in our individual residential mortgage loan originator licensing activity. In fiscal year 2020, lower than budgeted expenditures for travel and other categories due to COVID-19 pandemic coupled with high volume license activity resulted in excess funds for the department. In an effort to stay compliant with the self-leveling, self-funding statutory requirements and the requirements of the Finance Commission's liquidity policy, we are proposing reductions of multiple licensing fees for fiscal year 2021. The fee for a new mortgage banker and mortgage servicer registration is decreased 14% from $350 to $300, and the renewal for the same registration decreased 16.7% from $300 to $250. The fee for a new individual residential mortgage loan originator license is decreased 6.7% from $150 to $140. And the fee for a renewal license is decreased 16.7% from $60 to $50. The proposed reductions will in effect refund some of the generated excess to the industry and assist the department in collecting only the amount of mortgage revenue sufficient to cover the total cost of the industry's regulation. As far as thrift revenues are concerned, we're budgeting to collect 44.5% more than budgeted in prior year due to the significant growth in assets under our regulation. In fiscal year 21, we have budgeted to collect $3.8 million in assessments based on the lower of risk-weighted or total assets and assessed at 70% our approved maximum rates. The assessments will be collected throughout the year in 4 equal installments. The collected thrift revenues will be sufficient to cover the total cost of this industry's regulation. During fiscal year 21, we have budgeted $0 for penalties so that no part of our operating budget hinges on the amount of assessed and collected penalties. As far as miscellaneous revenues are concerned, the biggest portion of that category is represented by depositor interest we receive from safekeeping trusts, where all of our funds are held and typically invested overnight in repurchase agreements. Due to COVID-19, the interest rates have been very low and even negative, so safekeeping trust has not been investing. As a result, we have budgeted for a decrease in the amount of depositor interest we will be receiving in fiscal year 21. Moving on to the expenditures portion of the budget, the total personnel cost category represents 90.3% of our total expenditure budget, and this is 27.6% higher than the budget approved for fiscal year 20. The increase is due primarily to adding 8 new positions to the thrift division for the development of the large financial institution program, 7 financial examiners and 1 administrative support position, as well as 1 additional position in the operations division for a total of 9 positions. The budget provides for merit increases, promotions, and equity adjustments for multiple employees in an effort to reward good performance, remain competitive with state and federal counterparts, and encourage staff retention. the stability of our staff benefits the industry in both retained knowledge of departmental statutes, rules, and procedures, and also of specific regulated entities and their management. We are budgeting for a decrease of 38.1% for travel expenditures in prior budgets. Based on guidance from FDIC, we're estimating the travel for exams will not resume before January, and when it does, it will be at a reduced rate compared to prior years. The amount budget for professional fees and services is 32% higher than prior year's budget due to increased amounts for information technology consulting fees, as well as professional fees for the sunset compliance review follow-up the department is scheduled to go through in fiscal year 21. We are budgeting for a decrease in the office utility based on reduced presence in the Austin office. The events we usually hold in the fall for which we need to rent space and audio-video equipment will be held virtually this year due to COVID, which resulted in decreased budget amounts for rent. As a result of COVID, to enable staff to perform effectively and efficiently remotely, we had to update some business processes and utilize additional communication tools. Amounts for communication expenses are budgeted at 27% higher than prior year. We have included amounts for video conferencing and increased internet bandwidth. This year, as every session year, we have also included expenditures for telecom, which is the electronic subscription for legislative information services. The total for information technology expenditures is almost identical as last year. It includes amounts for updated software products to enable teleworking and secure transmission of information between the department and regulated entities, as well as amounts for website updates, managed network services, and small peripherals. All office staff and thrift examiners' computers were replaced in fiscal year 20, so we are not budgeting for significant outlays for scheduled equipment replacement in fiscal year 21. The department's miscellaneous operating expenditures have been budgeted at 11.1%, or about $17,000 lower than last year. The decrease is due to lower budgeted amounts for temporary workers. In conclusion, at the end of fiscal year 21, we are budgeting for a deficit of $690,000 that will be covered by existing cash reserves. And this concludes my presentation.
We would be glad to answer any questions.
If there's anyone wishing to make a comment or ask a question on the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending's budget, please use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Okay, Commissioner Jones, we see no questions. So now,
very good.
Stand by.
Yes, I am.
We have a request by Chris Furlow from Texas Bankers Association to make a comment.
Thank you, and Commissioners, appreciate the opportunity to make comment. Just would like to say that the Texas Bankers Association supports the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending and this budget. Commissioner Jones, would like to thank you and Deputy Commissioner Trotty and your Department of Savings and Mortgage and Lending staff for your work with our state savings banks during the COVID-19 emergency. We recognize the work of Commissioner Jones and her staff in prudently managing the department's resources. It is the self-funding, self-leveling nature of the department, coupled with the SDSI status, that provides the department with the ability to ensure safety and soundness in a flexible way, especially during COVID-19. So we're grateful for that, and we certainly see that you've got increased costs with additional supervision to perform with the banks moving into the state. So again, TBA supports this budget. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else wanting to make a comment on savings and mortgage lending budget?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Jones.
Yeah, that concludes. Yes, thank you.
Now we'll hear from the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Commissioner Pettijohn, are you Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you very much, Mr. Cooper, and welcome to everyone on the webinar again. And I'm Leslie Pettyjohn, and I'm pleased to present our proposed budget for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. This budget explanation that we'll provide to you supports our proposed budget that we respectfully present in the amount of $8,843,678 for fiscal year 2021. This budget request includes 82 FTEs, which is a decrease of 5 FTEs from fiscal year 20. And while this budget comparatively to the prior fiscal year reflects an increase in revenue of 48%, it is important and critical to remember that motor vehicle sales finance renewals were deferred by 3 months into 2021, so they had no renewals in 2020 and only renew in 2021. So that's the reason for the increase in revenue. Expenditures in this overall budget are decreasing by 1.7% from fiscal year 2020. The whole COVID-19 has certainly made projections especially challenging for in the upcoming fiscal year for all of us. However, key budget drivers that we keep in mind and are at the forefront as we look at this proposed 2021 budget are changes in some of our industry markets, ensuring staffing stability and staffing retention, our examination travel requirements, and certainly those are changing a bit, and then our IT and cybersecurity needs. So those are sort of our fundamental underpinnings of our budget. As a self-directed semi-independent agency, certainly we take great care in the development of our budget. We have taken great care to ensure proper stewardship of our resources. We want to ensure that we manage our expenditures within our available revenues, ensure that we carry forward our principles for self-funding and self-leveling and transparency and accountability. And those are all exceptionally important to us as we move forward with this fiscal year 2021 budget. I mentioned some of the key fundamentals that are principles behind this budget. One is the changes in some of our industry markets. In the recent months, we have not seen significant decreases in our license and registration totals thus far, which we think is great. That's a good outcome. But our fiscal year 2021 budget does project a slight drop-off in some of our industry groups. Just due to the current economic factors, we feel like that might ultimately happen, but it's slight. It's also reflected in our modest projections on the volume of incoming applications and some of our a bit lower renewal rates for some of our business licenses. We think those might fall off a little bit over the next year. So we want to allow for that in our budgeting process. We hope it doesn't happen, but we think it's prudent to plan for that just given some of the economic conditions that are currently happening. I did want to mention sort of the basis of the budget as it relates to our examination and supervision. During COVID-19, we certainly have worked to pivot our process and revamp our process for conducting examinations especially to enable those to be conducted on more of a remote basis and use a remote processing for examinations. Given the economic conditions that we're faced and some attrition that we've already experienced, this budget proposal would eliminate 3 financial examiner positions for the fiscal year 2021 year. We may want to bring those back in 2022, so I just wanted to mention that out there. But for the time being, we feel like the workload level and supporting the remote process as we have thus far would support eliminating 3 positions in this particular financial examiner positions in this budget. Our travel expenses have been impacted as well, and we have a forecasted decline of travel of 18%. Our modeling on this proposed budget supports a performance target of 2,500 compliance exams, which is down from our target in 2020 of 4,000. The decrease in the target is primarily due to, our difficulty in traveling during COVID-19 and just difficulty conducting some of the examinations and getting to the locations that are necessary. Examinations as they look today require a significant investment of more time and more resources, and consequently we needed to reset our target for exam completion. I mean, we're grateful to the opportunities that we have, you know, how it has evolved and how we've begun to conduct examinations on a remote basis, but it certainly requires more time for each examination, so it required a readjustment of those performance targets. Additionally, we've been looking at some efficiencies and some consolidation throughout the agency to lead to more functional shared workloads, and that's reflected in here as well. So that's some overview comments related to this budget. For more specifics and detail related to the individual data in here, I'd like to call upon Moran Diamond, the Director of Licensing and Finance, to continue presentation of the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's proposed budget for 2021. Moran?
Thank you, Commissioner. Moran Diamond, Director of Licensing and Finance for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I will start with staffing stability and retention. The proposed budget will provide a staffing level that allows the OCCC to effectively and efficiently regulate industry groups while retaining staff. Salaries and benefits make up 78% of the proposed budget expenditures, and it proposes promotions and competitive actions throughout the agency. The proposed budget includes funds for professional development and employee training to aid with retention of high-performing employees. Moving on to information technology, the proposed budget funds the operations and maintenance for the cloud-based regulatory platform ALEX, and also includes additional development work to further enhance and refine ALEX. It includes funds for the CAPS transition and the development of an interface for revenue from ALEX, our online regulatory platform. The budget also supports additional investments in cybersecurity, including a data loss prevention solution and upgrades and support for applications used across the agency. Next, communication. In the communication group, the proposal includes increased costs over the current budget to support enhanced bandwidth to service the demand for remote processing, as well as increased needs for VPN access and virtual meeting solutions. Further key items in the expenditure budget include travel expenditures for in-state examination travel are estimated at $633,000, an overall 18.4% decrease from fiscal year 20. This includes realistic estimates for financial examiners transitioning travel schedules during COVID-19, with the return to normal scheduling in approximately the third quarter of fiscal year 21. Professional fees. The proposed budget includes normal estimates for legal services payable to the Attorney General and the State Office of Administrative Hearings and accounting services with the projected internal auditing costs. Fiscal year 21 will be the year where the OCCC has an additional audit for the endowment fund, so the accounting costs for fiscal year 21 show an increase in the odd numbered years. Miscellaneous operating expenses are budgeted at approximately the same level as the fiscal year 20 budget. Larger items within this classification include online payment fees, temporary staffing services, insurance premiums, and the assessment from the comptroller related to the statewide allocation of certain costs. Moving to the fund balance, the budget proposes a deficit of revenues over expenditures with an intentional effect of funding some of the budget from the agency's reserves. The agency anticipates about 5 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of fiscal year 20 and a little more than 4 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of fiscal year 21. Now, the effect on the industries. As we have proposed this budget, we have carefully evaluated the impact of the budget on the regulated industries and the revenue required through licensee assessments. The proposed budget anticipates deeper discounts in fiscal year 20 from the maximum assessment rates. Additionally, fiscal year 2021 will be the first year motor vehicle sales finance licenses will renew in October. Just a few examples of those discount rates for the upcoming fiscal year. For mortgage loan originators, the budget includes a 50% discount. For pawn shop licenses, a 25% discount. And for motor vehicle sales finance licenses, an average of a 22.5% discount. And these are all higher discounts proposed in fiscal year 21 than in fiscal year 20. That concludes my explanation and remarks, and I will turn it back over to the commissioner.
Thank you, Moran. Appreciate your presentation. So I just wanted to close with a few comments about, you know, in terms of the development of the budget, we followed our defined process, which includes a pretty interactive process within our management team and a very active process with all departments. And so we are grateful for that type of participation and that level of interactivity that we have in developing this budget. We feel good about this budget, but we really are happy to present it and to seek feedback. We welcome feedback. We certainly have appreciated the past support that we've received from the regulated industries relative to our budget. And we would be happy to entertain any questions and have further discussions about the budget at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. If there's anyone wishing to provide a comment or a question to the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's budget, would you please raise your hand? Everyone just stand by for a minute.
We have one individual wishing to give a comment, but he may be in audio mute. His name is Robert Halden. Robert?
Yes, this is Robert Halden. Yes, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yes, Robert, if you would, state your full name and who you're representing.
Thanks, Commissioner. This is Robert Halden, lobbyist for Texas Consumer Finance Association. Just want to register in support of the OCCC's budget and want to thank Leslie and her staff for all their help during this COVID crisis. She and her staff were proactive and very concerned, and I just wanted that noted for the record. That's it.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your comments.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Robert. Anyone else wishing to make a comment or ask a question? Okay, seeing none, we will turn to the Texas Department of Banking. Again, this is Charles Cooper. I'm going to make a few comments about our budget. The other two commissioners have commented about our SDSI status, which we certainly appreciate the legislature giving us that status, and we do everything we can to honor and respect that. About the budget process, with all the issues facing our country, I will have to say that this budget was probably the most difficult one that I've been involved with in all of my career. And I certainly appreciate the hard work of our management team that have participated in this process. We continue to experience banks converting to our charter, and our assets under supervision have increased for 8 straight consecutive years. And we are projecting a 10% increase in 2021. I believe we have developed a budget that will allow us to adequately do our job to protect the citizens of Texas while working with our regulated entities during these trying times. Now I'd like to ask Sammy Chadley, our Director of Administrative Services, to provide some detail. Sammy?
Yes, good afternoon. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. In our budget process for 2021, and proposed budget for 2021, each individual area was tasked with creating their budget using historical, current, and forecast information and incorporating the strategic planning initiatives and agency priorities developed for 2021. Cost centers for each industry were reviewed to make sure each industry is covering its related costs. The proposed budget for 2021 is based on the department conducting 836 examinations, processing 298 applications, notices, and filings, and resolving 225 complaints. Our proposed 2021 budget has revenues projected at $29.8 million, which does not include $5.1 million in bank assessments that are not expected to be assessed to operate the department. These assessment reductions will allow the agency to cover expected expenditures of $29.8 million with no additional contribution to our cash balance in FY 2021. Assessments are approximately 90% of our revenues, and our revenue projections include the following. Bank asset growth of approximately 9.7%, mostly due to four conversions in 2020, as well as one de novo bank and merger activity. A normal level of problem banks. Corporate activity decreasing almost 10% due to anticipated reduction in bank application filings. Limited overall revenue increase for our non-depository supervision division. And decreased projected earnings of funds held at the state treasury, basically our interest rates. In our budget review process, and in accordance with 7 TAC 336E, we have determined that our current assessments for the bank and trust area will cover this budget request. Next, our personnel costs is our major expenditure category and accounts for most of the budget increase. Total personnel costs are estimated to be $26.1 million, including benefits and other personnel costs. Personnel costs account for 88% of the proposed 2021 budget request. A projected 28.3% of salaries in this budget proposal was used for benefits, and then added to that is the 1.5% addition mandated by the legislature for health care and retirement contributions. The 2021 proposed budget includes 16 vacancies that are staggered and filled throughout the fiscal year. Overall, our 2021 budgeted expenditures increased by 0.79% over the 2020 budget. Excluding salary increases, the proposed 2021 budget is negative 2.3% as compared to 2020. Our staffing increased by four positions from 194 to 198. This increase includes two FTEs to assist with migration to CAPS, which is the centralized accounting and payroll personnel system that the comptroller manages, and two financial examiners related to conversions. We believe these increases are necessary to retain qualified staff, remain competitive, and help postpone retirements while we continue to train our less tenured staff. Other noteworthy items include estimated travel is at $1.4 million and is 4.7% of total expenses. This number is determined while considering COVID-19 effects by reviewing the projected examinations and training needs and estimates for each of these events. Professional services include a part-time contractor for CAPS and potential charges for the Sunset Advisory Commission follow-up. And training for 2021 is 26% lower than 2020, and also is based on, while considering COVID-19 effects, on actual needs of examiners and staff. Finally, cash position. This year, we did not utilize $5.9 million in available bank and trust assessments and $735,000 in non-depository assessments as we continuously manage our cash balance growth for compliance with liquidity policy guidelines. Our anticipated unreserved cash balance at fiscal year end 2020 is estimated to be approximately $5.9 million, or roughly 2.4 months of the 2021 budget. The proposed 2021 budget keeps unreserved cash within 2 to 6 months per the liquidity policy guidelines just mentioned. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Sammy. Mm-hmm. If there's anyone wishing to provide a comment or ask a question of the Texas Department of Banking budget, would you please raise your hand?
Yes, Steve Scarlock with the Independent Bankers Association of Texas.
Steve, go ahead, please state your name and who you represent.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Steve Scarlock. I'm with Independent Bankers Association of Texas. Just a couple of quick comments and just for the record and for those on the Finance Commission who are sitting in, we will be providing some testimony brief at the August 21st Finance Commission meeting in support of both the Banking Department and the Savings and Mortgage Lending Department budget. Christopher Williston will be here, if I'm not mistaken. Just wanted to weigh in with our support. I know that there's been a lot of work that's gone into this. These are crazy times, and I applaud all the agencies for their efforts in doing this. I would like to reiterate a comment I made, I believe, at the last Finance Commission, how critical appropriate funding is for the bank regulatory process during these uncertain times. The SDSI process is absolutely critical and provides the flexibility that is necessary to be able to react. We were obviously pleased as an industry as the expenses that were not expended primarily in the area of travel over the last few months resulted in somewhat of a surplus. So there was a 60% reduction in the fourth quarter assessment. So we appreciate that. We are quite candidly fine with a nice little year-end bonus if that happens, but also want to make sure that you and the banking department have the appropriate resources to do your job, which is definitely going to be and continues to be challenging. Those are basically my comments. I again appreciate it, all your efforts, all of the agency's efforts to make this happen, and this process itself is something that we very much appreciate the engagement in and involvement in. And again, we will have letters forthcoming for the Department of Banking and Savings and Mortgage Lending that will be presented prior to the Finance Commission meeting.
Thank you, Steve. Is there anyone else wishing to make a comment?
We have a second request by Chris Furlow with the Texas Bankers Association.
Hey, Chris, if you would, state your name for the record and who you represent.
Yes, sir. Chris Furlow, President and CEO of the Texas Bankers Association. And on behalf of our members, we'd like to first thank Commissioner Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Purdom, and the entire staff of the Department of Banking for working with our banks during the COVID-19 emergency. We greatly appreciate the communication and ongoing work as we continue to manage to get through this this crisis. So thank you. Even in these exigent times, the department's proposing a budget with some just modest increases to ensure that the department has the resources that it needs to oversee our Texas state chartered banks within this environment. The department's approach to staffing has been very thoughtful, and we appreciate that greatly. And we're also especially pleased to see that there's considerable attention on information technology and cybersecurity. Our members have reported substantial increase in attempts to compromise their systems. Commissioner Cooper, thank you very much for your not only here in Texas, but your national work on cybersecurity. We've been pleased to collaborate with you and the department, and we appreciate that. So the Texas Bankers Association weighs in support of the Department of Banking's budget. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. Is there anyone else wishing to make a comment or ask a question about the Texas Department of Banking's proposed budget? Okay, I see no questions now. I'll ask, generally speaking, if there's anyone wishing to make a comment or ask any questions further of the process or any of the three agencies. Okay, no request or seen at this time. So on behalf of all the three Finance Commission agencies, I want to thank y'all for your time today. As a reminder, our budgets will be presented to the entire Finance Commission for its approval on Friday, August the 21st. So this concludes our presentation of the budgets of the three Finance Commission agencies, and the budget hearing is now concluded. Time now is 1:41 p.m. Thank you again.